If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter. I would like to minister in this service on no fear here. No fear here. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. God's will for your life, my life, the life of every born-again believer, is no fear here. There's still several around, but I noticed on, you know, the rear windows are the, you know, the back windows of pickups. No fear. But I have something that goes beyond that. No fear here. No fear here. I don't think that any of us realize how devastating fear has been, is, and will be if you don't get a grip on it in your life. The latest Gallup poll said 50% of Americans are afraid that terrorist striking in the future will affect 50% of Americans. That's not my poll. I just read it last week. 50% of Americans are saying that they're afraid that the terrorist may strike again. Now, the Word of God is very plain to tell us who or what not to fear. And here you find it in the reading that we've shared in Luke chapter 12 through verses about 7 and 8 and 9. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. You know, as much as we love to see believers raised up, if for some reason they're not raised up, they're set free. We know where believers are. Not a shadow of a doubt. In fact, I like to say it like this, we win either way. God raising us up, we win. If for some reason we go on to be with the Lord, that's not all bad. That's wonderful to be in the presence of God. But the Word of God said, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. All of those that knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in that World Trade Center that didn't even have a warning, it was one moment earth, the next second in the presence of God. But what Jesus is saying to believers, to me, to you, to all of us, no fear here. And it takes more than saying it, because it doesn't happen overnight. It has to go from your head to your spirit. And if you're like I am, I've heard some things many, many times before it ever made the trip from my head, my sense realm, into my spirit. I believed it, I embraced it for the moment, I wanted it, I knew that I needed it, but then my flesh, like your flesh, sometimes responds in a less spiritual nature. But as we look at the Word of God here, Jesus is saying to you, to me, to all of us, God's will for our life is no fear here. The whole world may fear, but you don't have to fear. And I'll qualify these statements according to the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give. I know he went on to say the kingdom, but it's his good pleasure to give you anything that he's promised to give you. It's God's good pleasure. There's not an earthly parent that does not glory in being able to do something good, something nice, something kind, something beneficial, something that brings joy to the heart of your child or your grandchildren. And so he said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Fear not, therefore. What do you say, preacher? What's so special about that? It's very special. Fear not, little flock. You say, but you don't understand. I have a good right to fear. Well, if you want to persist in that, you can. But I'll tell you, life is hell on earth to live every day in fear. Afraid to live and afraid to die. Afraid to go to sleep and afraid to wake up. Afraid of what tomorrow will bring. Just like the Gallup poll said, you know, fear just stalking the hearts and lives of 50% of Americans that were afraid something like this is going to happen again and it's going to affect me. Well, it gets better from here. But God's will is no fear here in the storms of life. You remember the Apostle Paul, Acts 27? I love stories like this. I'm glad God doesn't just say, don't fear, but then he paints a picture and gives us a story. It could have all just been word, do this, don't do that. But he gives us these wonderful real life stories of a preacher on board a ship and every prop being pulled out from under him. Doesn't make any difference whether he's a preacher or a teenager or young married couple or in the evening time of life. And on board that ship, the angel of God appeared and the message from God in the midst of the storm, a killer storm, was fear thou not. Fear thou not. So no fear in the storms of life. Remember, it was in another situation where Jesus turned to the disciples after he had spoken to the storm. And he said, why were you so fearful? I've learned a lot of things and I still find myself having to relearn some things. You know, when something hits you initially, you know that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach? That, oh my Lord, no matter what God's done for you in the past, no matter how many times God has brought you out, but Satan said it won't work this time. Oh, yes, it worked back in a certain year, or it worked last month, or it worked last week. But not this time. It's one of his biggest lies. Not this time. Oh, yes, this time. But Jesus said, why were you so fearful? But, Lord, that's easy for you to say you're Jesus. Those were tremendous waves. Our lives were in jeopardy. But he said, why were you so fearful? In essence, Jesus was saying, what's the big deal? Use your faith. Use your faith. You saw me use my faith. You use your faith. So no fear in the storms of life. No fear in daily life. The Word of God said in Matthew, take no thought about tomorrow. What? What about my daily planner? God's not saying don't plan. But he said, don't be anxious about what you shall eat. Some of your word about what you're going to wear tomorrow. And that's why the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. I don't see birds checking into the psycho ward saying we're afraid our wings won't work. We're afraid the world system will run out of bird seed or whatever birds eat. Daily life. Folks, to me, life has become back to basics, back to utter simplicity. God's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Plan as best you can. Be wise, don't be foolish, but don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There'll be enough to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. If you're worried that you won't have enough to worry about tomorrow, you will. And you'll have to make another set of decisions tomorrow. Am I going to live by faith or am I going to live by fear? So no fear in daily life. Take no thought. Don't be over anxious. Don't be overwhelmed about tomorrow. What you're going to wear. What you're going to eat. Some of you are already worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow and where you're going to eat. And wonder if they'll have that special tomorrow. Wonder if your favorite food's going to be on the special list. No fear in daily life. No fear in sickness. Jesus more than once in healing someone spoke to them, great is thy faith. Isn't that powerful? I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. That's the way God wants us to live. No fear in sickness because we know the healer. No fear in the end time. Matthew and Luke talks to us about the end time. Whatever you think about the end time, we're closer to it than we've ever been. All of us are. And as of September the 11th, I think a lot of us realized it could come quicker than we realized. It looked like it was coming down in some measure that day. No one really knew what the story was. Planes were commanded to land. Chaos in the air, chaos on the ground, chaos not only in New York, but wherever there was a television. In fact, in the Pentagon, there were several people taken out around a television set in the Pentagon watching what was happening with the World Trade Center. Just a relatively short period of time before that. But you know, it's bad, it's terrible, our hearts go out. But if they were prepared to meet God... You hear preachers say things like that. Live prepared every day. If there's ever an example of it paying to live God every day, it pays to live for God every day. But I think if someone was making a bad drive, I'd have time. You know, you think those angels are going to sing and the Billy Graham choir is going to sing that Just As I Am Without One Plea. And you're going to have all the time in the world to do all the things you think you're going to. No, no. Pentagon, bam, they were out. World Trade Center, bam. They were out. Some of them survived for a while. Now, I'll get away from that in a moment. But folks, do you realize this is not a Tower of Babel deal. This is not a Jonah deal. This is not a Noah deal. This is an our day deal. And people were taken out who did not even know what hit them. But if they were prepared to meet God, it was goodbye earth and hello heaven. Hello, Lord Jesus. We must live ready. So no fear in the storms of life. That's the will of God. God's will is no fear in daily life. Take no thought for tomorrow. No fear in sickness. We do know the healer. No fear in the end time. In fact, the Bible warned us not to be overwhelmed with fear. No fear in war. Over in Psalms 27. I think you need to turn over with me and let's read Psalms 27. I've loved Psalms 27 for so many years. It has ministered to me over and over and over again. But I just want to go over and look at these words that have warmed my heart. Let me tell you, folks, when the bottom drops out, you better know how to reach out for God's Word. And if you can't find the Bible, you better have it in your heart. It said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's one of the broadest promises and statement of promises in the entire Word of God. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, they came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me. That means a multitude. That means you're outmanned. Psalms 91 talks about 10,000 falling on one side and 1,000 on the other side. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. And in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle, his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I will sing. That's what God's saying. In the midst of stuff, don't lose your praise. Don't lose your joy. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of terror or terrorists, don't lose your praise unto God. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Oh, the devil would love to take our song, but the devil's not going to take our song. I said the devil's not going to take our song. Is it irreverent to sing praise songs when there's so much sadness and tragedy in the world? Remember and never forget, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Tragedy is not your strength. You can just watch so much tragedy on television. You can just watch so much talk show or listen to so much talk show. You can just absorb so much. Your spirit person is far under the weather. You need to be feeding your spiritual person. I will sing praises unto the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord. I will put in a praise tape. I will put in a praise CD. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. You may not think I have a good voice, but I will praise the Lord. In the midst of tragedy, I will praise the Lord. In the midst of everything coming down, I will praise the Lord. Folks, this is so necessary. I know it's basic. And if I had a house full of sinners, I'd go after them tonight. But we've got to keep us strong in the midst of the battle. Let me give you verse 13. I had fainted. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You remember I preached the first Sunday after September 11 that there was a lot of good coming out of that. A lot of tragedy. But there's a lot of good coming out of it. And I'm still rejoicing. I still have not heard anybody saying anything about separation of church and state since then. I haven't heard anyone saying anything about prayer in or out of schools. I haven't heard anyone saying anything about take the Ten Commandments off the walls, when we realize just one of them would have avoided that tragedy, thou shalt not kill. And now, most holy day for Satanists in America, now the word is out. Horror. Horror is not cool. Horror is not in. Hollywood horror is not in. It's not good taste. Call it anything you want to, I'll take it. Call it anything you want to, I'll take it. Even the world is saying, maybe we better take a second look at what we're doing. You say it may not last for long, I'll take it as long as it lasts. And let's keep our faith on the line that it will last for a long time. No fear in war. No fear in the shadow of death. No fear in the shadow of death. I was reading a paper from New York, a man who was a full gospel man. And he lives on Long Island. I had it, I think Joy has it or someone's reading it. But this man, that morning, he said, I spent a little extra time in the presence of the Lord. He works in the Sunday school of his church. He said, I spent a little extra time in the Word, a little extra time in prayer. Think about it. Did that pay that day? And he said, I remember asking God for protection over me and our entire family. I spent a little extra time in the presence of the Lord. And he said, I felt an extra assurance in my heart that morning. Because you see, you draw nigh to God. And God draws nigh to you. You say, God, all you can have is 5 minutes. God said, I'll take it. You say you ought to give God an hour, right? But do something lest you do nothing. So, who or what not to fear? I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that, there's nothing else they can do. Secondly, who do we fear? If we're not born again, you have every right in the world to be shaking in your boots. I don't know how people that have any kind of a basic knowledge about the plan of salvation can handle life if they're not born again. As crazy as life is, I don't know how people handle it. They're warning us of germ warfare. They say they cannot manufacture gas masks quick enough. And if you don't know how to use it, or you don't know when to use it, or you don't know that there's danger, it's not going to help you anyway. You better have a Holy Ghost mask. You better have a Jesus mask. You better have a covered with the blood mask. Just basic, but it's real. So who do we fear? If I was not born again tonight, I would run down to this altar and say, "Preacher, I don't know whether you're preaching a good sermon or not, but I want to get one thing settled. If this were my last night on earth, this were my last day on earth, tell me how to get right with God." It hasn't been too many Sundays ago when we gave an altar call. Never be discouraged whether there's many or whether there's few. Usually we have quite a few that come forward. But an 86-year-old lady came forward in a Sunday celebration service. Do you know the statistics, how impossible it is for an 86? First of all, most people aren't living at 86. Number two, to come to Jesus at age 86. And yet, the altar call, a precious lady, 86 years of age, came forward and confessed Jesus as her personal Savior. My dear brother, if that had been the only one in that celebration service, I mean, we should have been shouting with heaven that an 86-year-old lady, someone who has lived that long on planet Earth and not known Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit of God dealt with her heart and she came forward. You ought to say, "Thank God I put my tithes and offerings in a church like that." So, who do we fear? Well, let's go back over to Luke, the 12th chapter, and let's look at what the Word of God said. It said, "I will," verse 5, Luke chapter 12, verse 5, "but I will forewarn you," or warn you in advance, "whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." I'm just going to make a little quick statement here. You talk about a shock for a terrorist to go to hell and find out his God's been there for a long time. Ours has been there, but he didn't stay. The grave could not hold him. Hell could not hold him. But I'll tell you, there's some other gods wandering around down there. Who do we fear? If we're not born again, you better have the fear of God and make your peace with God. And so he said, I'll tell you who to fear. You want to know who to fear? I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him that hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I'll tell you another category that needs to be afraid. If you're saved, but you're living a careless, on-the-border life. If it was not for the grace of God, there's not a one of us in this room that could make it. Because there's no way you're going to get the whole body of Christ synchronized at the same time, thinking the same way, living the same way, the latest dresses being the same length, everybody wearing the same color of clothes. I mean, there's a lot of even evangelical groups that believe that if you don't have, you know, the ladies don't dress a certain way and the men don't dress a certain way. There's still a lot of that across the land. If it were not for the grace of God, you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols, if it was not for the grace of God, there's not one of us in this room that could make it. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. You know, you say, do you live a perfect life? Well, no, but I'm after it. And you know, a few days ago, there's something I've been praying about for years, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I've become an overcomer. I have become an overcomer. I've stepped up another realm. Didn't happen the first time I prayed. I don't understand why. Didn't happen the first year I prayed. Didn't happen the first few years I prayed. You say, what is this? None of your business. You tell me your secrets and I won't tell you mine, okay? But I'll tell you one thing. I hate anything around me or anything operating in me that does not please the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not seeing how close I can live to the side without slipping off. We're all human and we can all miss it. We're born again, spirit man's perfect. But there's just too much in this Bible. Two-thirds of Pauline epistles say, get yourself together. Why did God say that? There's a very definite reason for that. Because when I'm not under the umbrella, it's not a matter of heaven or hell. But when I'm not under the umbrella of pleasing God, walking with God, doing what I know. See, when I get out from under that umbrella and then it rains on me and I get mad at God because I got rained on. It's called stay under the umbrella and you stay high and dry. Get out from the umbrella and it's going to rain on your head. Yours, mine, anyone else's. There's such a cry in this pastor's heart. I don't know what changes you can see. Really, that's not immaterial because it's not your applause ultimately that I see. But I'm telling you, I want to please God. I want my attitude to please God. I want my ministry to please God. I want our motivations to please God. I'm not seeing how close I can just walk to the edge and without going off. I've just cried out to God on a daily basis. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Sanctify me wholly, Lord, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. We live in a world, it's a sad thing that you have to swim in a sewer to buy a quart of milk. You have to swim in a sewer. Minister was traveling the other day, and the filth circuit in the hotel, whatever governor they have on it, every room got all the filth they wanted. And one preacher just got his television set and put it out in the hall. He said, I will not have that in my room. He called the office and said, I'm pulling this thing out of the wall and it's out in the hall. So there can be no doubt about what I'm watching. I've just about come to the safest thing I know to do when I'm traveling is throw my coat over the television, because if you travel, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm just crying out to God. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Oh, God, don't let me be led into something that I would not respond in a proper way or a godly way to it. Amen. Lord, lead me not. Don't let me be led into temptation. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, he said, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which is killed. After he is killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say, fear him. Now, thirdly, first of all, we discussed on who or what not to fear. Then we talked about who do we fear. If you're not born again, you have every right in the world to just be a nervous nerve in. If you know Jesus and you just don't care, you're in trouble and you don't even know it. Now, number three, how to live a no-fear-here life. How many want to know how to live a no-fear life? Okay, no fear here. Well, first of all, you know, it's so beautiful. He said, friend. Did you notice that over in Luke chapter 12? I say unto you, friends. Luke 12:4. I say unto you, my friends. I know a minister that said, my friend, in a southern way. I'll tell you one thing that'll help you from the hour of temptation. No, you've got a friend. Not only do we have a friend, but we have a friend in high places. Know that your friend is here to make you strong. Now, I want to show you a verse that, isn't it amazing? You read something and read it, and I've just discovered this verse. I'm just having the most wonderful time with Luke chapter 11, verse 21. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. I'm talking about how to live a no fear here life. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. When? The decision is ours. When? Be strong in the Lord. When? A strong man. Put on the whole armor of God. To impress somebody? No. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Keepeth his palace. Now let's look at that. When? Obviously that's not happening often enough in too many believers' lives. When? I'm a strong man. I'm a strong woman. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When? You've got it. Do it. When? It won't work until you that are strong in the Lord make that faith quality decision. My palace will be kept. My family will be kept. When? A strong man. You can be a strong man, but never use that strength, and your strength will dissipate. When? A strong man, armed, keepeth his palace. His goods are in peace. Some of you just need to practice an entire day. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I overcome through the word of my testimony and through the blood of the Lamb. In me, I'm nothing. In me, I'm less than nothing. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In my own strength, nothing. But in him, I can do all things. And that way, every time there are people here tonight, I mean, you do well for a while, and then the enemy comes in with your favorite sin. Here we go again. You don't know what it is to just stand there and get your fist bloody. You say that's works. No, to run is cowardice. And say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, we don't think that way anymore. I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. I'm strong in the Lord. I don't care what you think you see. I'm stronger on the inside than I look on the outside. Because Jesus lives within me. The weakest little woman has been proven when that adrenaline or whatever it is that's released in their body to be able to literally lift up part of an automobile to free a child that's under the wheel. Couldn't do it under any other circumstance. A feat that would be hard for a muscle-bound weightlifter. But when something is released, something supernatural for the moment happens in the life of even a frail little body. Oh, I'm telling you, you may be a frail little one. You may think you're one of God's weakest ones. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, if you say, not this time, Lucifer, no more. No, you've come in like a flood before. But there's a new rule in this house. You're not going to rule and reign. When a strong man, a strong woman, armed. You are armed and dangerous. Armed. Hold up that shield of faith. Hold up that sword of the Spirit. Put on that helmet of salvation. Make sure that breastplate covers your heart. For out of the heart come the issues of life. Make sure you're covered. Oh, thank God. Make sure you have on those good shoes of the gospel of peace. Folks, whether we realize it or not, it's all out war. War was not declared in New York on September the 11th. War has been declared for a long time. Satan hates your insides. And he'll do everything within his power to knock you out of the race. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When? It's about time when has changed to now. Now I'm a strong woman. Now I'm a strong man. I'm armed. And I've made up my mind I'm going to keep my palace. I'm going to keep my goods. I'm going to lay claim for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my friends, for the church where I attend. Let's change that when to now. It's time we said now. No fear here. Now. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Know that you have friends in high places. Know that your friend has made you strong. Know that your friend's values have changed your life. Know that your friend has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And the choice is yours. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. When an armed man, when an armed woman, aren't you tired of Satan beating your brains out? Aren't you tired of Satan just coming in and just kicking you in the ribs? And I mean, you come out and say, man, I got to church, but I don't know how I got here. I mean, there comes a time. There comes a time you got to draw a line in the sand. You're armed, you're dangerous, you're a strong man, you're a strong woman, and there's a time you draw a line in the sand. Every time Satan says, boo, you don't run. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I love to tell young people, you don't have to let Satan kick your brains out. You don't have to be a pushover for the devil. You don't have to just, well, you know, yeah, just, you know, you're not born to lose. You're born to win. When you were born again, you were born to win. God don't make no junk. Whatever's been a problem, whatever's been a weakness, whatever's been a besetting sin, it's time you draw a line in the sand and say, I'm a strong man. I'm a strong woman. I draw a line. Not this time, Satan. Hit the road, Jack. Go on down the road. I know my rights. I know my Bible. The good thing about God is it all begins right now. 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 Well, let me tell you my story. Neither one of us have the time. If we all told our story, we'd have long beards in this house. But oh, with God, it's not where you've been. It's where you're going. It's not what you've done, but it's what you're doing now. And you say, nobody will believe in me. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And it'll work. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, man, nobody believed in Bob Nichols. They had no reason to believe in me. But you know, I said, I don't care if I ever have another. I mean, I cared, but with young people, having a friend is a big deal. And I lost all my friends. But how can you lose a friend that you didn't have? And I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I just said, if the rest of my life is lonely, so be it. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I am going to heaven. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right. Doing the wrong thing has messed me up. I mean, it's a miracle that as a young man that Satan didn't just mess me up. He had it going in that direction. Oh, thank God, just in time. Just in time. The blood, the word, the name, the grace of God. Oh, one more time. God extended that arm, that hand of grace. And I heard it. And I acted on it. And thank God from that time, you say, have you been perfect since then? No, I haven't been perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. I've not turned my back. I haven't gone back. I had enough of sin. Sin tastes terrible. It looks terrible. It smells terrible. It's full of hell. Sin is no win. Just like my. So many things come to my heart. But you know, I mean, I was so sick of sin when I came to Jesus. And I hadn't gotten into a lot of things people get into nowadays, but I had a very tender conscience. I was so sick of sin, man. You talk to me about sin, I'd just say, get out of my face, leave me alone. If I have to live by myself, I'll live by myself. I'm going to do what's right. And you know, I'd lay my head on my pillow. Didn't have many friends now. Didn't have many friends now. Still had my convertible, but I lost my friends, you know. Oh, it was a sharp convertible. It was sharp. Somewhere in this world there's a 1941 Ford convertible. Somewhere there is one. Somewhere. It was something else. At least I thought it was. But I lost all my friends. But you know, one by one, God began to give me new friends. And gave me friends that I've had for a lifetime. I said, God gave me new friends. One of my friends called the other day. And we talked on the phone. And I thought, two rebels without a cause. And we answered the call of God. And both of us have built pretty good churches by the grace of God. Oh, do you want your life to turn around? All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made and is still making something beautiful out of my life. Whatever your testimony is, you need to shout. I'm washed in the blood. I've been redeemed. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not all I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be, and I'm on my way to being everything Jesus died for me to be on the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the grace of God. But you know, as I said, I lost all those friends I thought I had. But you know, when I laid my head on that pillow at night, I didn't have to say, please, Lord, wait another night or two. Wait till the next revival. I could lay my head on that pillow and I said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Church, I'm talking about no fear here. I hear so many believers talking fear, thinking fear, living fear. Fear is not the will nor the mind of Christ. We all have reasons to fear. We've all been there. Some of us more, some of us less. But I think we need to draw a line in the sand and say, no fear here. From this day forward, from this moment forward, no fear here. I'm washed in the blood. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. This man that said he spent a little extra time in prayer that morning, he and his secretary both got out of, I believe it was the 81st floor of the second tower. He saw the plane coming at his very floor, and it turned just a tiny bit of an angle. Part of the wing of that plane was in his office. The flame engulfed that whole department. No one in that department lived but he and his secretary. And they came down 80 some odd flights of stairs, and they're alive. Friend, I tell you, it pays to pray a little bit extra some mornings. It pays to spend a little more time in the Word some mornings. It pays to be obedient to God. 81 floors. Born again, Spirit-filled. Did it pay to be born again, Spirit-filled? Did it pay to spend some extra time in the Word? Did it pay? Yes.